Open my lips, Lord, to speak your words, and open our hearts to receive them. Amen. We will remember them. We will remember them. But it's only any use remembering them if we in our generation learn from remembering them. We all have ideas as what it must have been like in the First World War. The shellfire, the mud, the snipers, the wire, the gas, not to mention the lice and the rats. But the sheer terrifying noise of shells and the sight of constant death and injuries all around you. The death and maiming of friends. The painting on the front of your service sheet shows how for some it might have been possible to endure. Painted by an ancestor of David Swinstead of Easton, it pictures a Royal Army Medical Corps, RAMC officer, looking after an injured Tommy, but spurred on in the terrible conditions by none other than Christ himself, who shares in the suffering, who is present in it, by showing to the officer his own wounds. The painting is entitled The White Comrade and subtitled with a quotation from Matthew 28:20, "Surely I am with you to the very end of the age." Noel Chavasse was a Liverpool doctor aiming in 1914 to be an orthopaedic surgeon. But he put those ambitions on one side because he felt that he should join up. He became regimental medical officer to the Liverpool Scottish, a Territorial Army Infantry Battalion, and thus an officer in the Royal Army Medical Corps attached to this unit. On arrival at the front, he wrote to reassure his parents. "I believe that doctors are not allowed in the trenches, so really I shall run very little risk during the war. And I do not intend to run any risk at all unnecessarily. My blood is not heroic." This was not how things turned out. Chavasse was a talented individual, a fast runner with a good brain, but really no more talented than anyone else from his background in any generation, no more exceptional than any of us here today. In fact, very like us. But he was also a Christian, spending his vacations in Toxteth, organising sport for boys from one of the most deprived populations of the country. His father was Bishop of Liverpool. Most importantly, Chavasse's biography reveals, this book here, reveals a life absolutely focused upon other people, not on himself. He always did the right thing. He noticed when things were wrong and went and tried to sort them out, not hiding behind rules and regulations, not doing the minimum and looking after himself. It seems actually, sadly, that many doctors and priests, with notable exceptions, and of course some of whom we've spoken about at previous year's Remembrance Sundays, when posted to the front line in the First World War, did actually do the absolute minimum and nursed the horror of the trenches by seeking solace in booze. Although Chavasse had a reputation for not tolerating malingerers, he made his dressing stations, whether in dugouts or buildings, models of efficiency and, in the circumstances, havens of civilization. He had the walking wounded help his hard-pressed staff by collecting firewood, lime-washing the walls, adding furniture, chairs, tables, china, and even putting glass in the windows. Gramophones and records were acquired from home, and musical instruments, and even musical evenings were ordered in the front line. sometimes with the bizarre presence of two or three dead soldiers lying silently in the next door room of the dugout. He increased his staff by supplementing them with German prisoners of war, including a German medical officer who helped him enormously, who Chavas described as a fantastic fellow. He had a talent for spotting those men who were near a breakdown, but not actually hospital cases, and he would give them light duties around the regimental aid post to give them a chance to rest and recover before returning to the front line. It was said that he somehow even kept a cow, commandeered so that his patients could have fresh milk. Any trench party arriving at the aid post would be met by hot cocoa and the chance to get warm. But it was not for these acts of humanity and kindness that he is remembered. As the war progressed, he was to be found increasingly scouring no man's land with his brave stretcher bearers looking for the wounded, refusing to stop doing so until all had been accounted for. One diary writer described him as having spent 3 days immediately after an assault at Huga, while shells were still exploding in the open, looking for and attending to the wounded in front of the British trenches. For this, he was awarded the Military Cross. But he was absent, and so missed the announcement of this decoration at a church parade, which he was required to be at, and was eventually discovered in a little wood, weeping. As the Liverpool Scottish moved on again to Guillemont, he chose again to step out into no man's land to tend the wounded. Not now just after an attack, but actually during it, under heavy fire, including at one stage rescuing 3 wounded soldiers from within 25 yards of the enemy's trenches. During that action, he saved the lives of 20 badly wounded men. For this, he was awarded the Victoria Cross. It was at this stage that he was offered a job at Base Hospital, in which he would have been able to develop his skills as an orthopaedic surgeon under one of the leading specialists of the time. He described this as a great temptation, but felt that he could not leave the young lads to fight it out while he luxuriated, as he put it, in a coastal town way out of danger. But the Liverpool Scottish were then transferred to Passchendaele. It was here that he received a serious head injury while carrying a wooden wounded soldier to the dressing station. But he refused to leave his post and for 2 days went out repeatedly under heavy fire to search for and attend to the wounded who were lying out. He was awarded a bar to his Victoria Cross, the only man to receive 2 Victoria Crosses in the First World War. Sadly, he was mortally wounded during this action as a shell fell directly into his dressing station dugout. How could he do it? How could he be so brave that he voluntarily went out knowing that at any moment he could be killed or maimed? Only if he knew, really knew, in his heart that something, that someone beyond death, beyond life, defined him, gave him identity and purpose, and was with him through it all. St. Paul writes in the passage that James read from Romans, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, distress, persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" The passage continues, and it seems almost to have been written for this First World War generation particularly. The passage continues, "As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." And then St. Paul continues, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Noel Chavasse lived and died as if this was true, as if nothing in all creation could separate him from the love of God in Christ Jesus, as if Christ, the white comrade, was with him throughout every challenge, throughout every step into no man's land, every screaming shell. Noel Chavasse was a man of valour, his father wrote, because he was a man of God. In our easier times, when we're not facing the potential of instant death for doing the right thing, when our worries and concerns may seem so trivial in comparison with those of Chavasse's generation, we are nevertheless often beset with fears. We are, after all, people of our own generation, and we, like those of Chavasse's generation, have to cope with what the world throws at us, what the tectonic plates of history do, how they move in our time. And what we encounter seems pretty serious to us, seems pretty frightening to us. But do we have the same courage that Chavasse showed to be able to face those fears in the way that so many of Chavasse's generation faced theirs? And if not, is it because, unlike so many of them, we do not yet know the white comrade, that we do not yet know that he will be with us, that his wounded hands of love are extended towards us, whatever the challenges, whatever the dangers that we are facing, if we will only open our hearts to him? As he knocks at the door of our lives, he invites us to be able, like Chavasse, to remember him, like St. Paul, to know him. And if we let him in, we will be able to say with the same confidence as St. Paul, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.